Anyway, Galatians chapter 6 here tonight. Galatians chapter 6. I have several things in the works. I've told you various stages of development. And my heart just could not settle on any of them today, to be ready for tonight. So we're going to go a different direction here tonight. I sense we're supposed to do this. Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Notice the condition there. If we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. I've said this before. It's not original with me. I've heard it years ago. There's times when we get weary in the ministry, but we should not be weary of the ministry. There's a big difference there. There are times when we get weary in our daily lives. Notice with me 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, notice, as we have received mercy, we faint not. As we move into chapter 11, I'll just mention this phrase here. I read it, I believe, on the Lord's Day. A couple of things that he mentions in his list of things that he deals with, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often. Watchings means that he constantly had sleepless nights and everything because of all that, and hunger and thirst, fastings often, cold and nakedness, and so on. But weariness. Notice to me Gospel of Mark for a couple of examples here. Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. Probably one of the reasons why this was on my heart here today is I was so weary last night. I went to bed about 8 o'clock, and I woke up at 5 o'clock, but didn't get up until 6 o'clock. If you know anything about me, that I have not done that for a long time. I wake up 2:30 in the morning, 3:30 in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, and so I can't go back to sleep. Might as well get to work. So, here's what I find, though, is that you get to a certain point where physically, emotionally, whatever, you get to a point where you just have to crash and just rest. Notice it says here in Mark chapter 4, with that in mind, notice verse 35. I want you to notice what happens here in this passage. Verse 35, it says, the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Now, you notice here in verse 38, he was asleep on a pillow. It says he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. So he's sleeping through this storm that was causing experienced fishermen to fear. I can relate a little bit to that. I slept through two earthquakes in Hawaii, so enough that shook the windows and stuff. The earthquake center was like 5 miles from us or something like that. My wife told me about it. I said, don't worry about it, just go back to sleep. But you think about this. Also, I didn't sleep through this one, but I remember in Kentucky, of all places, we experienced a minor earth shake from Illinois. And it shook the ceiling tiles and so on in the prophet's chamber. But you think about physical weariness. So you're in a ship. You're asleep on a pillow, and says they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Notice they doubted his care because he was sleeping through this. He said, let us go to the other side, pass to the other side. So the master is saying, we're going to the other side. Well, I guess you can trust that then. Verse 39, he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. I believe there's an immediate miracle there. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now you think about having thousands of people demanding your attention like Jesus had. Of course, now he has millions as he's seated on the throne, but I think he can handle that now. Mark chapter 6, verse 27. Mark chapter 6 and verse 27. Notice it says here in verse 27 and following, immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought, and he went and beheaded him in the prison. All right, so think about this. Some of the disciples started under the ministry of John the Baptist. So the one who discipled them to begin with, notice, has now been executed. Notice the sorrow here that they would be experiencing. Notice they brought his head in a charger and gave it to the damsel, and the damsel gave it to her mother. And when the disciples heard of it, they came and took up his corpse and laid it in a tomb. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. Notice this accountability of the disciples here to the master. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while, for there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. All right, so they were on the edge of weariness that was going to cause them some difficulties. And it says they departed into a desert place by ship privately. But you notice when you have thousands of people following you, verse 33, and the people saw them departing, and many knew him and ran afoot thither out of all cities and outwent them and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were a sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. As you go down through the rest of this chapter, this is the feeding of the 5,000 men plus women and children. So anywhere probably 20,000 people, the disciples had a part in this. So the only rest they got was while they were in the boat. All right. As soon as they landed, everybody recognized him, and they have the multitudes following them once again. I want to point out here that there's several areas which can cause weariness in our lives. First of all, physical weariness, as we've already seen indicated. Notice with me at John chapter 4. John chapter 4 is another example of this. Again, there's several references. You know, you think about the Lord of glory taking on human flesh, and he was limited physically. Physically, he had times of weariness. Notice here it says in John 4, verse 1, it says, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus therefore being, notice, wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Of course, in this context, he talks to the woman of Samaria at the well, and even though he's weary, he still takes time to minister to the spiritual needs of this woman. You think about other examples of physical weariness. We saw one here recently in 1 Samuel 30. Remember where it says the 200 of the 600 were so faint they could not pass over the brook. They were faint and weary. Also, it's interesting, Gideon's men, it says in Judges 8, verse 4, it says, faint yet pursuing. There's times when you feel faint and you still have to pursue, you still have to continue what you're doing, but physical weariness is a real possibility in our lives. Also, mental weariness. Notice with me Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Familiar passage, but I want you to notice something here in relation to this. All right, so mental weariness often results and causes physical weariness. Ecclesiastes 12, verses 8 through 12. Vanity of vanities. That's a common phrase that Solomon has in the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 8. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. Notice verse 12. And further, by these, my son, be admonished. Of making many books, there is no end. And much study is a weariness of the flesh. I want you to notice here, much study is a weariness of the flesh. All right, so mentally, much study can cause a weariness in the flesh or of the flesh. So mental weariness, also spiritual weariness. As an example, I think of Elijah. Remember, Elijah was dealing with all of the false prophets there in Israel. And of course, on confrontation that he had there on Mount Carmel. But it's very interesting, as soon as he's threatened by Jezebel, he's running for his life. And I really believe that there's a mental and a spiritual and a physical weariness that Elijah experienced. And of course, God knew that, and so he sent an angel and gave him angel's food a couple of different times, and he went in the strength of that food for 40 days. But let's notice an example here in Jeremiah chapter 8. There's several examples that we could look at in Jeremiah's life as far as spiritual weariness. And I wanted to just emphasize this because of what's happening in our culture, I really believe we could easily settle into a spiritual weariness as we think about all the things that are, that's going on in our world. That's why I try to be careful not to do too much time of reading headlines and reading news and all that, because God's in control of it. He doesn't need my knowing about it all. I want to be aware of what's going on, but I don't have to obsess myself with that, and it's very easy for me to do that. To be honest with you, it's very easy for me to do that. I have to on purpose say, no, I'm not doing that today. It says here in Jeremiah 8, verse 18, Jeremiah is often referred to as the weeping prophet. And even as you look at Lamentations, Lamentations speaks of weeping and mourning. And so there's five chapters where he pours out his heart in relation to the judgment of God upon his nation. Notice Jeremiah 8, verse 18, when I would comfort myself against sorrow, notice my heart is faint in me. Behold the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people because of them that dwell in a far country. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images and with strange vanities? The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Notice, the time when we thought that we would find our deliverance, our salvation, the time has passed and we're still not experiencing God's deliverance. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black. Astonishment hath taken hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? One other example, 2 Samuel 21. 2 Samuel 21. Let me point out, I hate to admit this. Another reason why we experience weariness sometimes is because we're getting older. All right, man, just admit it. You're not able to do as much as you were able to do 20 years ago, right? Or am I just the only one? Over the years, I've started learning more and more. Instead of working harder, I have to work smarter. So now I try to work harder and smarter at the same time, and that doesn't always work out that way. But 2 Samuel 21, verse 15, we see here, David is now nearing the end of his life. And notice it says in verse 15, moreover, the Philistines had war again with Israel. And David went down and his servants with him and fought against the Philistines. And David waxed faint. Notice he was getting weary. And Ishbibenob, which was of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight, he, being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. Evidently, David was faint and weary. And so he was struggling with this giant. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, succored him, helped him, was assistance to him, and smote the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David swear unto him, saying, thou shalt not go no more with us out to battle, that thou quench not the light of Israel. David, why don't you stay back and tell us what to do from a distance, all right? We don't want you dead in battle because then we have no king and then we're going to have a challenge in our country. So how do we respond to the times when we are weary? First of all, we are to not go to the world. Let me remind you again, David, when he was weary with Saul chasing him, there's nothing better than for me to go to the Philistines. That is the wrong response. When we get weary because of what's going on, we are to not go to the world. Well, I might as well just go to the world. I might as well just enjoy life. That's the wrong response. In fact, that's going to add some spiritual weariness and things in our lives that we don't want. Also, the other example, or the other wrong response, I should say, is to not quit praying. Notice me, Luke 18. Luke chapter 18, verse 1 and following. While you're turning there, let me just go ahead and read for you Mark chapter 1. This is a passage that I've gone to over the years for encouragement from the Lord's example. Mark 1, verse 32 and following. And even when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. All right, so I like reminding myself, I'm not dealing with everybody in this town. Everybody's not. Boy, that would be a revival or a great awakening in town if everybody's knocking on the door. How do I get saved? Can you help me? Notice, all. Every word in the Bible is there for a reason. Notice, all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many. Notice he did not heal everyone. He healed many that were sick of diverse diseases and cast out many devils. and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. And in the morning, rising up a great while, no, he didn't sleep in, notice. In the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, notice, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. Notice Jesus had a direction from his Father and says, he said unto them, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. Even though he was weary from long days, he still arose a great while before daylight to pray. Notice with me Luke 18, verse 1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Notice, not to faint, grow weary in praying, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Notice, she's wearying the judge. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. I believe what Jesus is saying there is, if an unjust judge is going to do this, what's the Lord going to do? Is not God going to avenge? Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? So the wrong response is to quit praying. In fact, if we're weary, that's the time when we should be praying more. I want you to consider what we need is time with God. Notice Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Sometimes we need a little more time with God because we are weary. Notice Matthew 11 verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now, this is in the context of him seeing the multitudes. He sees the multitudes and what they're dealing with as far as the oppression and so on of the religious leaders and all that. Notice he says, I will give you rest. Does that mean physical rest? Notice what he says here in verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. So I say there's not just physical rest, but spiritual also. In fact, that's what I believe. Many people make a mistake, say, well, I need time to rest. So I'm not going to go to church this week because I need some rest. I think that's why God established the Lord's Day, so that we can have rest and also encouragement and strength for our inner man. Notice rest unto our souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus Christ is not going to put a heavy burden upon us. Notice Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. So we see here the encouragement as far as Jesus Christ. All right, so we need time with God, a relationship, strengthen our relationship with God when we find ourselves weary. Because God is the one who can give us the strength in our inner man. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and following. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. I believe in the context, that's unbelief. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, notice this, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And related to that, I want you to notice here in verse 5, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. So notice this is a different a fainting here. When I don't know about you, but I didn't enjoy spankings when I was, I didn't enjoy punishments, discipline, chastening, whatever you want to call it. I still don't enjoy it today when God points out some things that needs to change and he starts working on those things. Notice, we are to not be faint when we are rebuked of him. Of course, he rebukes us through his word. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. You're an illegitimate child. If you don't receive any consequences for sinful choices, you better check out your spiritual condition. Because you notice, God is going to deal with sons. All are going to be partakers of chastening of his sons. He has no grandchildren. You know, I know I find it's very easy to be lenient on the grandchildren. We aren't, but I find it's a temptation. I remember I got a spanking from my grandpa once. That was an unforgettable experience. I didn't think grandpa's spanked. So, verse 9, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, for our good, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. I want you to see this in relation to the Lord. Also, Isaiah 40, a familiar passage, but I want you to see this. And I want to point out here what this is referring to. Isaiah 40, verse 28, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, or so God the Son spoke everything into existence. There's no lacking of God's power. God does not, I need to take a rest. He did not rest the seventh day because he was weary. He rested to be our example. Notice it says, he fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. It's incomprehensible. He giveth power to, notice, the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Every mother breathes a sigh of relief when the children finally go to sleep at night. You know, even young people finally get tired. You know, they'll go, and all of a sudden you find them laying on the floor, totally asleep because they gave out. Notice, even young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Notice, literally, we're talking about exchanging our weakness for his strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I just don't think I can let's just go any further. That's when we need to go to the Lord and wait upon him for his strength. Notice also we need to focus on things that will last. Let's me 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Sometimes we get weary because we're focused on the circumstances of life. That's very easy to do that with everything going on in the world. All you have to do is listen to a little bit of news and you can get very weary and faint in your minds. Notice it says here in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 16. 2 Corinthians 4, 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Notice, inner strength is renewed day by day. And in fact, I just thought about the reference in Deuteronomy, as thy days show, so shall thy strength be in measure. So God gives us the strength, but notice, he renews the inward man day by day. So this physical body wears out, but he restores or renews the inner man day by day. For our light affliction, again, chapter 11 tells us what he calls light affliction. It's like, I don't have any affliction, I guess. Notice, which is but for a moment. This too shall pass, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. In fact, I think of the hymn, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. The things of this life are temporal. They're temporary. They're going to pass. But the things which are not seen are eternal. So we need to focus on the eternal, not on the temporal. So again, as we keep our focus in the right place, it will help us. Also, as we go to chapter 12, I want you to see here that we must rest in the grace of God. We must rest in the grace of God. I'm not going to take time to look at the reminder of these visions and so on. But again, Paul had the opportunity to go to paradise. He doesn't know if he was in the body or out of the body. But because of that notice, verse 7, because of all these visions that and revelations that God had given to him, it says in verse 7, lest I should be exalted above measure. Think me higher than you ought to. Notice through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Some believe that this was some kind of a disability. The messenger of Satan to buffet me. Notice here, Satan sent somebody specifically to the Apostle Paul. And based on what Job says, God is the one who allows that and permits those things. Notice, it says specifically, not a messenger of Satan, but the messenger of Satan. Somebody sent by Satan to buffet him. Lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Again, as I've said, Lord, I'll be able to do more for you if I didn't have this infirmity. No, Paul, you need this infirmity so that you can do more for me. Verse 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. 1 Peter 5:10 says that he is the God of all grace. My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, in my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Notice, we become stronger when we actually become weak. How that works, that's only by the grace of God. And I remind you of Hebrews 4:16, very familiar verse, talking about the throne of grace, to obtain mercy and to find grace to help in time of need. I was doing some study here recently. I think this is an outworking of my Hebrews study, and talking about the throne of grace and so on. And all of a sudden, I started reminding myself of a phrase that closes most of the Apostle Paul's New Testament epistles. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Similar statements like that, amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Notice, it's a grace that we need, not for just for salvation. That's just the start of God's grace. He has grace for ministry. He has grace for suffering. He has grace for all of these things. We need daily grace. If we're going to have strength in times of weariness and fainting and all that, we need to rest in the grace of God. As we close, let's meet Psalm 27. Psalm 27. There are times when we need to rest physically. There are times when we need to step back. And in fact, I just thought of the example of Moses and his father-in-law. You're going to wear out. You're going to wear out if you keep doing all this. You need to share the duties and all that. Literally, he had somebody standing, wanting information from him from morning till the end of the day. Notice Psalm 27, verse 13 and 14. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. There are some who say the land of the living is heaven. I don't think so. Because he's talking about, I would have fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Living now. Because that's why the Bible talks about the dead, physically, humanly speaking, do not praise God. Notice, he believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Notice, he will strengthen our hearts as we wait upon him. Remember Isaiah 40. Notice with me, one other passage, Psalm 107. Psalm 107, verse 1. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Notice, hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses, and led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Are you thinking about an application of that for our lives? Yeah, we wander about in this life. Our soul becomes faint within us. But notice, God has, for us as believers in Christ, notice we're going to go to a city of habitation, which is called New Jerusalem. Notice the application there. Oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of man. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. There are times when we will get weary because we are not superhuman. Everyone has a point of weakness. So there's times when we need to say, Lord, I need your strength. Lord, I pray that you'd help us as we consider these things. Lord, I pray for even someone tonight that may be weary. Lord, I pray that you'd minister encouragement and strength. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to remember that when we are weak, when we feel faint, when we are weary, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to understand that we need to wait upon you for your strength. Lord, strengthen us day by day in the inner man. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.